Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Get ready. It's Blog time for No Talk Rules, Radio. Just like me and Topher.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
one? UCR.
Go.
We say and hope we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just how we're living, we never gonna tell. I'm fine with your original, uncensored radio.
Hello, my favorite rule breakers. This is No Rules, Just Mike, your favorite No Rules radio show that's bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know. We are your hosts. I am Topher after a long, small little hiatus that we had. I am Topher, one of your hosts, and I have Christian on the line. Christian, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing great, Topher. Excited to be back after a little bit of a layoff, and even more excited because we've got a little change of pace in our show today, and we got some special guests that we'll be getting to shortly. So yeah, definitely coming back with full power, and we're ready to go, man. How you been?
I've been excited and completely going through withdrawal. It's been about 3 weeks since No Rules aired a live show, which is absolutely unacceptable for No Rules. But you know, the holidays come. We always take the holidays off because I feel like the holidays need to be for family. Holidays need to be for, you know, your loved ones. So we usually kind of take the day off for that. But yeah, we're back and better than ever. There's going to be a change up to the No Rules lineup. Christian, who is the host of the HolyCityCenter.com website, for those of you who are in the Charleston area, it's HolyCityCenter.com. He gives you all of the to-dos and all the inside of what's going on in the Charleston area. And we're actually going to start integrating a little bit of the Charleston dish from the Holy City Center in the first segment. And then, of course, we're going to go into our regular edgy, yet not too edgy topics later on in the show. So I do want to do a quick congratulations to Karen Ashley, the beautiful Karen Ashley. She just recently got engaged, and everybody knows she is the former Yellow Power Ranger on the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger series, and we're so happy for her. She's been a huge producer, executive producer. She's really kind of moved the Uncensored Radio crew into a completely different stratosphere, and we're very happy for her. Hopefully I get to be in the wedding, but at best, I'm probably just going to be sitting way in the back with, like, the and others people. And, you know, I'm going to be fully okay with that. But, Christian, how was your last couple of weeks?
It was pretty good. 4th of July, you know, I missed doing the show, of course, but it was nice to just be able to go out and be with friends. Saw some fireworks. Actually, as we were driving over the Cooper River Bridge, the fireworks were going off, so that was a pretty cool deal. Fortunately, I was the one driving, of course, so I didn't get to see all of it, but it was still a pretty neat experience. And then we just kind of bar hopped a little bit downtown, so we don't get out too much these days with the work schedule and everything, so it was just a nice change of pace for us. Outside of that, nothing too crazy going on. I know you and I, you know, went out and did some fun stuff one night, and we'll probably talk about that later, so I won't get into that now, but we definitely had a good time. We went on a cocktail, like a pub crawl kind of deal. We'll talk about that later, but I had a blast doing that. Otherwise, same old, just been working on the site that you mentioned and doing the real job and, you know, working on the house, same old stuff. I wish I had, you know, something more exciting to report, but as usual, I will defer to you for the excitement.
Apparently, I'm the party guy. And, you know, I'll take
absolutely.
It. so, as you guys know, and because it was all over Facebook. I turned 31 back on the 2nd, so it was a blast. I took the entire first week of July off, which is what I normally do. I do like first week of July, and then I'll do the week right before Christmas, so it kind of like leads into Christmas. So I have like a really nice long vacation. So I took the first week of July off, and we did kind of a staycation, nothing really special. But you know, Matthew and I really spent a lot of time at home. We spent a lot of time with my lovable dog Willow. We went out, I went clothes shopping. It was, you know, just kind of the low-key stuff. We went to a restaurant called Evo's, which is in the Park Circle area, and we had this amazing pizza. And then we realized, because the waitress told us that there's actually an Evo's bakery. And I said, shut your mouth when you talk to me like that. There's a bakery? There was an actual bakery. Like, when you go, like, around the corner, You'd miss it if they didn't tell you where it was. And they do bread, and they do pastries, and they do coffee, and they do olive oil, and they do, I don't know what else, but they do so many different things there. It's really, really cool. Really cool little place. We got a baguette and some kind of like a ciabatta type of loaf. It was so good. Just so good. If you guys have not been, I highly recommend that you guys go. If you're in the Charleston area. Although, if you're in Japan, fly over. It's really good bread. I'm just saying. But, you know, that's kind of what we did on our front. Christian and I did I like to call it the Sober and Christian Fabulous Adventures. And you expect like rainbows and, you know, unicorns and stuff like that to kind of float around. But we went to the opening of the Orange Spot, which is a local coffee shop in the area. Where I think it was the first time Christian and I saw each other since his birthday back in February. So,
yeah, it's been a while.
Talk to us about the Orange Spot, because you know them better than I do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll keep it as short as I can, because we've got them here, and they've got plenty to talk about. I'm excited to hear them talk about it. But a little over a year ago, well, even before that, my girlfriend and I used to go to a little coffee shop here in town in West Ashley portion, and we really liked it. And every time we went in there, there was a girl who worked there. We didn't know her at first, but she was always super nice to us, and, well, to everyone for that matter. Sadly, it's rare that there's people like that in restaurant industries or similar that, you know, actually go out of their way to see how their customers are doing and, you know, try to be bright and sunny and happy. And so, you know, she really, you know, kind of stuck with you. Like, wow, she did an awesome job. And so I always, you know, we knew about her. And then when the place was shutting down, we were bummed out, you know, because one, we liked the coffee shop, but two, you know, we weren't going to be able to see Julie anymore. So somehow through the grapevine, when I was starting the website, I found out that she was trying to open a coffee shop. And so I immediately was like, kind of like when I was starting my site pretty much, like I had a few followers, but I was still pretty low as far as viewers and things. And so I said, you know, this is exactly why I created the website, was for businesses that are local that you can't find out everywhere else. And also like the stories behind it, the people and, you know, from the ground up. So I wrote something, let them know. I sent them an email saying, hey, I wrote about your dream. Cause at that point, that's all it was. It was just something they were working towards. They had like a Kickstarter like campaign, a chip in, I think it was called. And, you know, they ended up reaching back out to me. And then, I met Julie's, partner, going into the Orange Spot, which is Laura. And so I got to know them on a more personal level, and then from branched out from there. Met Laura's husband the other day. I've met a couple of their friends, and we just became good friends, and they became friends with Chelsea as well. And I've seen them go from the dream of, yeah, we really want to open our coffee shop someday. You know, we hope to do it. We're driven. Seeing them every step. They were updating me. I'd ask them for updates. And then finally, less than a month ago now, it was in June, they opened up, you know, soft opening, and then they had their big grand opening where they had family and friends there. Let Topher, let you know about it, and Matt, and you guys joined, and it was hectic, so you didn't get to really meet the girls, but you get to say hi pretty quick and kind of see what the spot was about. And it's exactly, I don't want to say it's exactly what I envisioned, but after I saw it, I was like, yes, this is exactly what they were talking about this whole time. So it was just a really awesome moment for me. I mean, obviously even more awesome for them to see the coffee shop open. It's in Park Circle, which is where Topher was just mentioning before. They're right by the Sparrow, which is a bar. They're kind of diagonal from it. They've got their own little spot, the Orange Spot, and it's great. And I'm not just saying that because they're friends and I invested emotionally into their business, but no, they make really good drinks. Their signature, I'll let them touch on that, but it's called the Cha Yen. They've got iced coffee, hot coffee. They're doing desserts. They're doing veggie trays, all sorts of stuff now. So that's their quick story in a nutshell, and we have them with us today. We have Julie and Laura, and I believe, Topher, you have them unmuted. So how are you guys doing?
Hey, hello.
We're doing well.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome to the show, and I know I'm excited, and Topher's excited as well, because he's heard me talk about your coffee shop for a long time now, and I dragged him out to the opening. And Topher, you had some nice things to say to me after we left about their coffee shop.
Yeah,
I did. Their coffee was amazing. It was just, I loved, and you didn't have to drag me anywhere. You just said, hey, there's a coffee shop. I'm like, okay, I'm there. I loved the atmosphere. I think for me, my favorite thing was, and it's not my favorite, it was one of my favorite things, that there was stairs, but then there was also like a little ramp. So people can actually, you know, the handicapable can kind of get up and get in and get their coffee, which I really, really love. But like the area was just so pretty. They had like this Spanish moss ridden oak tree in the background. They had a little tent back there. It was just a really, really cute place, and the coffee was absolutely delicious. They had oak trees out. It was fantastic. And I think I met Laura briefly as she kind of stepped outside to take a big deep breath, and then she kind of like ran back inside because there was snow slammed. So Julie, Laura, it's so nice to have you guys on the radio show. Are you guys doing okay tonight?
Thank you so much. Yes, we are. We're doing very well. Thank you.
I am so happy to hear that you were willing to stand in that long line. Our grand opening was really beyond our wildest dreams. Yeah.
It really
and
was.
So,
yeah, it was really cool.
I'm glad to hear you guys
are doing well. Telling your quick story of that was the brief history of Orange Spa. Is there anything that you would want to add to your journey, you know, about that? Anything, you know, from the beginning or, you know, any trials you ran into? Is there anything you want people to know that I left out? Or did I hit it pretty well?
I think the biggest thing, and this is Laura talking, is this is a 7-year dream for Julie. And it's, we became business partners before we were actually really friends. And so she's become one of my dearest friends through this whole journey. And it makes me really, really happy to hear about the inception of when this kind of all came to start. So I'll let her talk to you guys about that, because I think you may know it, but I don't know if everyone's heard it yet. So go for it.
So Christian, you mentioned our signature drink, which is the Chayenne, and that's actually where this started. After college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and my dad had always told me to stay out of the real world as long as possible. And Exactly, it's great advice. And so I joined the Peace Corps, and they sent me to Thailand. And as a 5'10", pasty white Midwestern girl,
she says pasty white until she met me. Let's just say that.
I tended to stand out, and people loved me. Like, they just wanted to be around me and like touch my skin because they had never seen such white skin. And so it was wonderful, and I met so many great people, but it gets overwhelming, and so I needed to find a place where I could just, you know, write my letters back home or write in my journal or read a book or just sit and enjoy something. And I found out that they had these little nighttime cafes, and they served this really great drink called Chayenne, and it was this beautiful orange color, and orange had always been my favorite color, so of course I was drawn to it. And I fell in love with this drink, and it was kind of where I just decided that you meet the best people in coffee shops, and people are traveling or they're in a different part of their life. You know, they want to talk, and they want to be your friend, or they want to sit and observe. And so when I came back from the Peace Corps, I had this idea that I wanted to bring people to an orange spot, to a happy spot. And that's what the Chayenne was for me. It was my orange spot. And so I started taking classes at the local college, and they were like small business classes. And then I started working at some of the corporate coffee houses. And I just learned how to be a manager and learned how all about coffee and the journey of the coffee bean. And it just seemed to fit me. And I moved down here to South Carolina about 4 years ago and started working at some local coffee shops. And that's actually where I met Laura. She was one of my customers. She came in, and we had this little bond over the espresso machine, which is kind of surreal. And
yeah, our first this is Laura speaking again. Our first conversation was, as funny as it sounds, it legitimately was over an espresso machine. It was a red Lamarzocco. And we just talked about all of the sentiments that Julie just verbalized, and I walked out of there, and I just thought, wow, that's okay. Well, funny that maybe I'll own a coffee shop with her one day, but surely not. And then my husband applied there just to kind of pick up some hours at an early morning job, and Julie hired him, and he didn't know I was a regular because I was. That was kind of my little secret. we were newlyweds, and therefore we didn't have much of a budget for that. Anyway, he came home and he said, "Okay, well, all my coworkers know everything about you. Obviously, you've been going there." Anyway, that's kind of how it all came about, and so we've been working on this, what, a year and a half now, mm-hmm. and here it is.
Yeah.
It's really pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead, Topher.
So the orange spot, does that have anything to do with, like, the chakra, you know, like the different colored spots correlate to different parts of your body?
We didn't intend any chakras, but we have, you know, if there's a bridge to be made there, then sure, we'll talk about that.
That's part of the whole thing is that the tea that I fell in love with, I didn't know if people would really enjoy it or like it. And so, like, the coolest thing is hearing people order chai yen instead of a Thai tea or, you know, something else. Like, it has just taken off, and it's so exciting have been a part of bringing something new to the Park Circle area and to the Charleston area, and people love it. And they're like, we have had customers come in and just say, "I just need a little orange spot today," and it's so
and
encouraging and wonderful.
It's awesome because that's the whole vision behind it. It's like, you know, there needs to be some place that exists that people can come and just be themselves and be happy. And
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It helps when you serve them some caffeine. So
that's fantastic.
Now
I
was lucky enough to be there one day, really before you guys were 100% open, and Julie happened to go out and get the business license that day. I know, Laura, you were in contact with her, but, like, walk me through, even I know I was there, and it wasn't as crazy and confetti flying out everywhere as you may have hoped, but walk me through that moment, or maybe that wasn't the defining moment. Whatever that moment was when you were like, this is happening, this is real, whatever that moment was, if it was that one or not, and then how you both were, you know, how you both felt during that.
I've got to say that, I mean, that was definitely one of those moments, but we've had so many of them because this whole process, man, it's, I mean, I say flippantly that it's been a year and a half, but, man, it has been a year and a half of a lot of really hard work, like working until almost midnight and trying to figure out, you know, and so, and I totally respect small business owners. I had no idea that's what it took to get a business up and going when you have a full-time job. And so I would say some of the day that we were approved for our micro loan so that we could actually open the place, I mean, that was a huge day, and we came and we sang, we sang happy birthday to the place that we're in now. It was last November 7th. We had already picked out this place as somewhere that we want to have the shop here if we get approved. And so when we were approved and received our microloan, we came and popped some champagne and sang happy birthday. I mean, that was a moment. And then
we drank the champagne out of coffee mugs. It was so fun.
It was fun. And then, you know,
I love that.
Yeah, there's the moment when, you know, we had a lot of issues with zoning, which is a whole other story. But, you know, when we were at the zoning committee meeting, it was 6 o'clock at night on a Wednesday, and we're standing there with our architect, and we hear the words, you know, your zoning has been approved, and, like, we're in tears and can hardly contain ourselves.
Aww.
I mean, that was another moment. And then the moment with the business license, you know, being able to come in, and, I mean, I know I was at my day job, but Christian, you were here, and you saw Julie.
Thank goodness you were there, Christian, because I would have exploded. I seriously, like, I walked in the door, and I just remember having it, and I was like, Christian, I have a business license.
And then after that, you know, having family and friends come in, and then it was the grand opening, and we're still having moments like that, and it's just wonderful, and it just makes for the whole last year and a half of work, it makes it worth it.
It's so true. I mean, the days are long, and we work so hard to make it look like it's nothing at all, but it's so rewarding having somebody come in, like I said, just somebody coming in and ordering a chai yen, or somebody coming in and saying, hey, my friend told me about you guys. Like, it's so
or having people find us on Google Maps. That was
Oh, that's awesome.
Little things that really get us.
You know, no, I mean, that makes sense. That's why the story is so much better than
you know, a corporate store opening, like, oh, another Starbucks opened in, you know, what was it, somewhere in Batanga or something. And, you know, you're like, okay, whatever. Like, it's not a big deal. It's rare that, like, a chain comes in and makes a big waves. It's not, it's just not a great story, but businesses like yours and the people behind it, and, you know, that's what makes it great. And then those little things where, like you said, for you guys, it's finding yourself on Google Maps. And Julie was telling me a story, and I'll let you tell again, but Google, somebody from Google actually called you, you were telling me.
Yeah.
You know, trying to sell you, like, SEO optimization or something, and this helped. You can tell everybody what happened there.
Yeah, yeah, so they called, and they were like, so you guys are getting some pretty good reviews on, you know, Yelp and Google, and we just wanted to offer you this Google optimization. And so she kept talking and telling me how great it would be. And I was listening, and it was great. And then as I was doing it, we have an iPad as our register. And so I was looking up, she said, you know, when you type in North Charleston and then coffee and tea in North Charleston, she's like, it'll bring you up on the first page and all of that. And she kept trying to sell this to me, and I typed it. So I typed it in, and sure enough, there we were on the first page anyway. And I was like, well, ma'am, we are on the first page. And she goes, well, that's probably because coffee is in your title. And I was like, yes, that's exactly why we put Coffee House in our title. And so then she quickly hung up because she knew that we had already done, you know, a pretty good job of trying to get ourselves on the web and everything. So, but it was pretty, it was a neat realization to know that you can Google the Orange Spot Coffee House, and here I am, and here we are. And this is, it's a real thing. It's tangible. We can touch it. We can be here and serve people. It's awesome.
That's been the coolest part for me, and I'm sure other people who are friends and family, and, you know, family especially, because I'm sure they saw 100 times more of the hard work and tough times, too, for that matter, during the process. But, you know, seeing you guys out at events was always great. You know, it still felt like a thing, but to actually have a home base, it's got to be really cool for you guys, for sure. And just everything. No, it's cool, and, you know, just knowing about it, too, like you said, like, I'll sit in there for a few hours and work on my website, and I'll see people come in, and people come in, and they'll be like, yeah, I'll have to try in. And that's not Julie, you know, or Laura, or whoever happens to be there helping you guys. They're not saying, hey, you should try this. They're actually coming in and ordering it. It's really cool to hear that after hearing about it a year and a half or so ago for the first time for myself. And seeing that is really cool for you guys, for sure. And that's what Charleston's about usually is places open. Everybody loves, you know, mom and pop or whatever you want to call them type stores. Everybody loves that story. But, you know, sometimes they don't stick around. They got to have something different. So I think for you guys, you found something that's different. People aren't used to it. Is that something you set out to do intentionally? You know, instead of just being like, hey, we're a coffee shop. We've got coffee and stuff. That's cool. And we make it really well. But did you set out specifically and say we got to center it around something different, or it just kind of played that way?
Yeah, no.
That was intentional. Wait, Julie's whispering to me, mission statement. yes, that's true. Our mission statement. It is, okay, here we go. I have the components memorized, but I don't have the order memorized.
So one of the biggest things that I learned in my small business courses was that you need to have a mission statement, and it needs to basically lead all the decisions that you make. And if you can stick with that, you can create whatever dream it is that you have. And so Laura and I, within the first couple times that we met.
It was the second meeting. We were at Early Bird Cafe. Yeah.
Yeah, we were at Early Bird. We sat and the napkin holder was orange, and we were just like, this is a sign.
That's right.
And so we came up with this mission statement, and we each put pieces that were really important to us, and it has three main parts. But it's imagine a place where we can serve those we care about while encouraging creativity.
Fostering relationships and building community.
And so every decision that we make, we base on those three things. And if it fits within that, then we go for it. And we say, you know, this is part of what the Orange Spot is and what we can be. And it gives us, it limits us to some things, but in other cases, it really just gives us freedom to do a lot with the Park Circle community and hopefully eventually, you know, Charleston and West Ashley and all of these other places.
Yeah. In addition to that, you know, obviously the try-in is a unique thing. So that's one thing right off the bat that set us apart. We also, I mean, we were really very deliberate in who we chose to go with for our coffee. we had some really wonderful companies that we were considering, and we still think that they're wonderful companies. But we decided to go with a small place. It's actually in Illinois is where we get the beans roasted. And they are also a small coffee shop. They recently opened. A friend of mine had been there, and she said that was one of the best cups of coffee she's ever had. We said, okay, well, let's try it out. They forged a relationship with us, and it came very easily. They're really down to earth. We were happy with the product. And, I mean, that was another thing we thought, you know, we can offer this to people. It comes from a small coffee shop, but it's high quality. And, I mean, that's what we strive to be. So we're hoping that's another thing that sets us apart.
Awesome.
And
you guys seem to be sticking to that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We're also really excited about our backyard when we can build that out.
Yeah, it's always going to be, and that's another part of business, and I mean, obviously you guys know this, but is just staying, you know, doing what works, but also not staying stagnant. You know, always doing something different. You're always doing work. You're always working towards something different. And take it step by step. And, yeah, you have a great space in the backyard. And people in Charleston love their outdoor areas. They love their patios mm-hmm. and their rooftops and their things. So there's a great space out there, and it'll just get better and better, I'm sure. Before I get it too far, I already got distracted a bunch of times, but we have a listener in the chat room who used to live here in Charleston. His name is Chris Burson. He is from Illinois, actually, and has recently moved back. He's from Peoria, Illinois, so he pretty much, I mean, that's even a town I've heard of, so I'm sure, Julie, you're familiar.
That's right. That's where we get our beans from, Peoria,
Illinois. We go with 3030 Coffee from there.
That's what my next question is going to be, is what was the name of the place? And then he just moved back there. We have a chat room. You guys can't see it being on the phone, but there's a chat room, and he's been like, when Julie said a Midwest girl, he goes, yeah, shout out to the Midwest. And I was like, oh, I got to mention this to you guys.
Hey, but, tell him to go in and say hi to Steve Elmore and the crew.
See if he hears you there. Steve Elmore, what was the name of the place in Illinois?
His name is Steve. One of the owners is named Steve, and his last name's Elmore.
And the company is 3030.
30, okay, gotcha.
3030, so, yeah.
Yeah, all right, so he just asked Steve at 3030. So, yeah, we'll send him out there. And, Chris, next time you're in town, which hopefully won't be too far out, definitely go check out the Orange Spot in Park Circle. Just ring me up when you're here, and we'll head on over.
That's awesome.
I wanted to make sure I threw that out there, because I was wondering, I know Illinois is huge, but I was like, there's a chance they might know the same town. Mm-hmm. I knew he was from Southern Illinois, but he said he might bring some coffee from there down here on his next visit.
we'll probably have it in the store, but hey, that sounds great.
Now he's going to bring it down here. Maybe he's going to try to undercut your business. He's going to sell it to me cheaper. I don't know. No, he didn't say that. That was me. Topher, I've been running up quite the tab over at this little Orange Spot. And it's not that they're expensive, but I've been sitting there for hours and hours, and I can't get out of there. It's just, Matt was with you, and he tried your iced coffee during the grand opening, and Matt was really impressed. So he's like, wow, that is a damn good iced coffee, and I'm getting refills. It's ridiculous.
Nice.
Yeah, you guys have tapped into something really, really awesome. And your story is so inspirational to everybody, you know, just everybody all over who wants to strive to, you know, do something different and you know, live out a dream and have their dreams come to life. But, you know, I think the really awesome thing about the Charleston area, and I was talking to Christian and Matthew about it shortly after we left your opening. I said, you know, I think it's really interesting how Charleston, the younger generation, the up-and-coming, 25 on up, you know, we're really wanting to make something of ourselves. We don't want to just live in Charleston. We want to have a part of the history of Charleston. You know, we want to have coffee shops. We want to have radio shows. We want to have pizza joints. We no longer want to be silent. We want to have a voice in this area. Christian with his website, you guys with your coffee shop, No Rules, Just Mics has been something that I've worked on for a really, really long time, and for it to kind of come to fruition as fast as it did and to kind of stand as long as it did, I think it's just a true testament to just the younger generation in Charleston. And you guys are just a huge inspiration. Thank you guys so much. I mean, you guys inspire me to push on every day to be a better radio show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about this. And I'm glad you guys are talking.
That's right. And hopefully we'll have you guys back in the future. I hope you had a good time. But, yeah, because I know there's so much more to the story. And as you go on every day, there's always something new to celebrate. Every time I come in, there's stuff different, whether it's the Google story or an addition to the menu. So, it's just a great story. And, you know, we have already have one listener as a tie-in, of course, and, of course, all the other people in Charleston as well. But Topher, you hit it right on the head. It's a really great city. We all know that. We talk about it all the time.
Right.
There's a great sense of community, which you guys are also taking a part of and getting other people involved. Another friend of ours who Topher and Matt also met, which was April from the Old Whaling Company, which is a soap company.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked to her for a while.
Yes.
And her soaps are now for sale in the Orange Spot as well as other places throughout town.
They have been popular too.
I walked in one day and they were there and I was like, oh, that's awesome, her soaps are here. And I came in another day and like half the wall was missing already. It was not a very large portion of time. But and so again, that goes back to what you're saying, Topher. People are making great products and doing a great job.
Yeah.
But also they had no problem saying, you know, April, I guess maybe asked you guys, I don't know if you approached her either way. Somebody approached the other person. We're both local. Let's work together. And April's done the same with me, you know, where we, and you guys, again, the three of us teamed up. It was really small, but we teamed up on St. Patrick's Day to try to raise a little bit of money for somebody who was from Charleston as well. And, you know, it's just great that everybody works together, and you guys definitely buy into that whole sense of community, which is huge for businesses.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you guys want to plug your coffee spot before you guys go?
Well, we are, 4824 Chateau Avenue in North Charleston, Park Circle, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays and Sundays, 8 to 3. So come see us and try Italian. You won't regret it. I promise.
Cool. Wonderful.
Yeah, and give us your social media stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, check us out on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/theorangespot7, or twitter.com/theorangespot7, you can find us. And we have some good senses of humor, so you'll see us post things on Facebook and keep you guys updated. And sometimes we've been known to either give discounts, free things, or bear hugs. So.
Ooh, wow.
It's a reason to come
Lord.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, thank you guys so much for coming on our radio show. We really do appreciate it, and much success and luck for your new venture, and I promise I will be there again very soon to have a cup of your famous coffee. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Y'all have a good night.
Thank you.
You too.
Feel free.
If you guys want to hang on the line, you can. If you want to listen, Topher's going to put you on mute for now, but we appreciate it.
Okay.
Feel free to hang up as well. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great
night. No problem.
Bye, you too.
They're
so
adorable. I love them. I love them.
Great.
And their story is so
great
amazing.
People. It is. It's a great story. And I'm sure there's plenty of others out there like them, and we hope to bring their stories in the future as we kind of bring the first half hour at least to a more Charleston twist, since a lot of our listeners either are from or were at some point living in Charleston.
Right.
But then, of course, getting into some other topics as well, which appeal to more folks. But, we have a great little town, and we're proud of it, and we have some good stories. And I think their story, like you said, it translates to us personally. It hits home for both of us in different ways. But I think it can hit home for anybody. Even if your dream's not a business or a radio show or whatever, it shows you that everyday people are out there and, you know, making their dreams come true. So, definitely great story, and I'm glad you suggested bringing them on first
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're friends of mine, so you never know, oh, should I suggest the friends first or whatever? So I was happy that you did, because you knew the story as well a little bit, so.
Yeah, they're great.
Good
and
stuff.
I think it's, yeah, it pushes, you know, if you have a dream and if there's something that you love, I mean, just because it's something that you love doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to make it a reality. Your dreams can always become a reality. I mean, you know, it sounds very Disney, you know, your dreams, what is it, whatever you dream that you wish will come true. I mean, that's really kind of what it is. And I know, I'm pretty sure that these two girls have probably had many, many nights where they're crying, pulling out their hair. They're like, we really, really, really want to make this happen. It's just so freaking hard, and there's so many steps. It seems like a daunting task, but, I mean, on the other end of it, I mean, you get to benefit from the fruits of your labor, and you get to stand back and smile and just feel so proud of everything you did. And I know for a fact that Julie and Laura, every day that they lock their door at close of business, that they're not only proud of what they did, but they're excited to do it again the next day. And that's just
I saw one of their statuses one day. I think it was Laura, one of her statuses on Facebook or something. It could have been Julie. I can't remember, to be honest. I'm sorry, guys, if you're listening. But one of them said something along the lines of getting up super early or what have you is so much easier when you're doing what you love. And I was like, that's awesome. You know, that's what it's all about right there. And also excited because, you know, Topher, you and I are doing this for many reasons, but also the Charleston twist was also to bring their story, open up more people to these businesses that we love and believe in. And a couple of our listeners in the chat, Chris Burson, as we mentioned, I don't know if he already had liked them previously before he had moved, but I saw he liked their Facebook page. And iShine fan in the chat also said she liked their Facebook page, so. I got a couple likes out of it, at least, you know, if not an inspirational story. Well,
absolutely, absolutely. I do want to touch on our little mythology tour.
Yes, absolutely.
Before we go into the hard-hitting topics. I thought, again, Christian and I haven't seen each other. We do the radio show every Thursday night. We have a great rapport, but I don't know if you guys really understand. Christian and I live probably about 20 minutes away from each other. And it doesn't seem like a far distance, but, you know, when you get wrapped up in work and home life, we both have dogs, not the same dog. We have two very different dogs. you come home, you take care of your house stuff, you make dinner, you walk the dog, you spend time with your loved one, you go back to work. I mean, we really don't see each other all that often. So when I ask him, Christian, how was your weekend? I really want to know how his weekend is because I don't see him as often as I would love to. Just because Christian's probably one of my best friends in Charleston. So I love when Christian and I get together, it's really like we never separated. It's really like we kind of pick back where we left off. It's like, oh, let's do. And then it's like right back to kind of what we, you know, would normally do. But we went to this really awesome, Christian invited me to this really awesome mythology tour. If you guys are in the Charleston area, there was three different restaurant/bars. That kind of this Charleston tour place, and Christian, you can tell it better than I can, but we went to three different places and we have three original cocktails that they make, which anybody's invited, provided that you pay. But because Christian does the Holy City Center website, he was kind of invited just to kind of do like promotion. Talk to us about that, Christian.
Yeah, definitely. One of the perks, and was not the intention, of course, when I originally did the website, was the whole plan was to talk about businesses and things like that. But one of the perks, but also on the same token, sometimes it's one of the worst parts about it, is that people will periodically offer you a free tour of this or a free sample of that. And sometimes those free samples turn out to be great. It's an amazing event that you get to go do for free, or a cool food that you get to try, delicious snack, whatever. But other times it's stuff that you have no interest in or don't really like, but then you feel obligated, like, wow, these people went out of their way, and there could be somebody out there who likes it. You know, it's just me who does the site. So, you know, sometimes I have to balance that, my likes versus someone else's. But that's a whole other topic for another time. But so one of the great freebies I was offered, and they don't expressly say it, but the trade-off is that you're expected to, you know, of course, give them some press, and hopefully good press about the activity. And thankfully, and Topher can attest to this as an unbiased party, it was a fun event, and it was easy to write about, and I was happy to do so afterwards. But it's kind of like if you've ever heard of a dish crawl or a pub crawl, it's similar to those, but instead of going out and trying different food or just going bar to bar and getting hammered, the point of these Charleston tours was to go to the best places as far as cocktails are concerned. Now, sometimes that's a restaurant, and sometimes that's an actual cocktail bar. And the plan was you go to three different ones. You know, the goal here is not to get trash. It isn't, you know, for the college kids or anything like that. Not that there aren't any out there that can enjoy it. But people of all ages, of course, 21 and up, can enjoy it. You're going to these nice places, and they're making you either a signature cocktail or something special for the season that you're in. So summer, they try to create something lighter, or they incorporate fresh local ingredients that are in season. And we got a nice, I think we got a nice balance of that. We went to Stars Restaurant. We went to the rooftop new restaurant here on King Street in Charleston. You know, making waves. The chef is Nate Thurston, who has been popular in town before this, but really ventured here and made a restaurant. And Topher, you know, the nicest staff like in history that I've ever run into at a restaurant. We're walking up the stairs. Two separate people are sweeping these stairs as we're going upstairs, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We're, you know, you're trying to sweep. We feel like such jerks. We're, you know, we're walking right over you. You just swept. And both people, without missing a beat, were like, no, not at all. Thank you. Don't worry about it. I'm sorry. I'm in your way. You know, I welcome the stars. Have a great day. And I was just like blown away
really
by
weird.
That. Yeah, which is sad because it shouldn't be. Like I said earlier, like with Julie and her customer service and how she is with people. It's sad that those things stick out because it doesn't happen that often. But that's what will set places apart, and it certainly worked for them, even though their menu can be a little pricey at times. People are willing to overlook that. So we went there first.
Exactly.
I guess we'll go one by one and just kind of briefly talk about it. But they had a delicious drink there. I loved it, but I think as we went on, it became my least favorite of the three, which is not anything bad about the drink. It was more having to do with the weather. But it was great because what they made was like, it was in a martini glass. It was kind of, Topher, you know, will explain his take on it, what he ended up naming it. But they incorporated, the biggest thing was the local heirloom tomatoes, which are in season in Charleston right now. It's a big deal for restaurants and people who love tomatoes. I'm not a huge tomato person, so I was not too sure how I was going to feel about this drink. They added some jalapeno in there for a little bit of spice. There was some like Himalayan salt or something at the bottom. They were trying to put it around the rim, those like margarita style, but it just didn't work. So they put it in the bottom of the glass instead. Saint Germain, and then there's a flower that if you so chose, you could actually eat if you wanted to on top. And I know I'm forgetting a couple of ingredients, but those are the main ones. Little spicy, which I like. I like spicy drinks because you're not used to something like that. It's usually spicy food. So I like that. But we were on a rooftop, hot as hell. So that kind of turned people off to it,
yeah.
And for me, even though I liked it, I was like, this is more of an indoor drink or maybe like a fall or spring where it's not so hot out. You know, it was just adding a little bit too much heat. And the best part was the tomato flavor kind of came afterwards, and it kind of cut into that spiciness, and I didn't mind it, and I don't normally like tomato, like I said. So I liked it. I know you did as well. You came up, you know, it was an unnamed cocktail, so we were told we should come up with a name with it. And I didn't hear anybody come up with a good one. Topher, I thought yours was the best one. So what did you think about it, and what was the name you came up with?
No, it was really good. It was really, and I agree with you. As we went on the tour, it was a really, really good drink. And out of the three, you know, if you rank the top three, it was definitely kind of on the lower end of the top three. It's probably my third choice after it was all said and done. But it reminded me of like a gazpacho tini. It was spicy, but it had a lot of flavor in it, but it had a little bit of like floral essence. It was just really, really good. You know, and those who know me know that I love food and that I love cocktails. I mean, that's all the reason that I needed. But it was really cool to just kind of be a part of that, to do something like that. You know, I've never done anything like that before. You can do it. I think it's like $40 or whatever for, I think it's either two or four people. It's like, it's $40 for you to do the tour. And you can go to three, and it's a random restaurant. It all depends on who's participating at that point. But you get to know a little bit of Charleston. And it was interesting. For those of you who don't know the movie, what is that stupid movie? Blown
the
Notebook. The Notebook. Oh, okay. So, side comment, The Notebook was awful until the very end. And then I literally had to watch a Disney movie because my heart was just completely crushed. It was awful. It was just terrible. But I love the movie. But these girls I believe they're from Texas, if I'm not mistaken, Christian. They're like, oh my God, this is where they laid down in the middle of the street in the rain, and they held hands. So these two tour guides actually stopped traffic in the middle of probably the busiest road in downtown Charleston to let these girls lay in the middle of the road to take pictures, which I thought was really, really amazing. I loved it. I was like, okay, you are a little bit stupid for laying in the middle of the road, because this guy can completely just move around the tour guide and run you over. But I thought it was just, I thought it was really cool. It was really cool. I do want to segue just a little bit to the it kind of leads into one of the big topics that we're actually having. There was this one girl who was kind of about our age, Christian. She was kind of younger, she was a really, really hot little girl. She was really cute. She had brown hair, she was short, she had big boobs. Not that that's something that I'm interested in, but I'm pretty sure, Christian, you can probably, you know, go into detail.
I mean, hey, you're doing a good job describing her. I don't think I need to.
Okay, good. Gotta be better. But it was like, wow, she's really pretty. Maybe we can, you know, kind of hang out with her. Maybe we can kind of, you know, create our own little, you know, unit. But she goes to this cocktail thing, and she's like, I don't like tomatoes, and I don't like this, but can you make me something else? Can you make me something else that I might like? Because I don't like this. But she didn't do it with just one restaurant. She did it with all of them, everything. She didn't like anything that they were going to make. And, you know, it's one of those things where it kind of leads into this topic. Have you ever feigned a relationship with somebody that you didn't like or that annoys you just to reap certain benefits, whether if they have a boat or a beach house or, you know, you want to ship them? Have you ever done that before? I know I'm going to be guilty. I'm going to say yes, I have. But, Christian, have you ever feigned a relationship or like with this girl, would you have pretended that she was really cool for whatever reason, either to, you know, if you were a single guy, you know, if she was somebody that you might be interested in, you just kind of overlook that type of thing.
When you said relationship, I've never done like a dating relationship. No, I've never pretended to like someone or whatever, you know, like dating. But if you're talking about, like, especially back in college when I was younger and single, and even as I got older and single, yeah, there you have a little bit more leeway with people if you're not interested in a relationship, whether that's hanging out or maybe more. Yeah, for sure, those types of relationships, if you mean friendships or, you know, hookups or something, well, you know, back then, for sure. There was people that whatever that situation was, if it was just, hey, these people at the bar are cool enough, I guess, let's hang out. Or you're just drunk and there's a girl who's pretty, even though she's kind of a jerk, or, you know, sure, I think people have done that. I've never done that for a relationship. As far as that girl, yeah, I was a little disappointed, because when she showed up, it was like her and two other girls who were like in their maybe late 20s. They looked like they were, you know, people that were in our general age range. And yeah, even though her mom was there or whatever, we weren't looking for anything crazy, of course. We just were like, oh, cool, some younger people we can kind of talk to and hang out. And when she got there, she even asked us, because they got there a little late, she's like, is that drink a little too spicy? And we were like, no, it's this and this and this. She was like, oh, okay. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, she's already talked to us, so we got a good thing going here already. And then from there, it was all downhill. Like, she was complaining about everything, not to us, just enough that we could hear. She was, like, not interested in, like, chit-chatting anymore with us. And we're like, okay, fine. And so you and I just kind of did our own thing and hung out, and we're like, all right, we thought we were going to meet some new cool people today, and it didn't turn out that way. But at this point in my life, you know, number one, having a girlfriend. Number two, having plenty of good friends. I don't need to be wasting my time with people like, oh, well, they're the only person in my age range here. So, you know, it's not worth it anymore. But on the flip side, there are some people that, you know, if they were to text me and be like, hey, want to go to the beach today? I would probably say no, but if those same people were like, hey, you want to go have some drinks tonight with friends, I would say yes, because there's those people that are fun when they're out and they're drinking and they're good drinking buddies, but I don't want to hang out with them otherwise. So I guess in some ways I still do that. What about you?
Right. I was young, I was stupid, probably like 19 or so. This is way, way before Matthew. But there was this guy that I was with a friend over at a gay club in Charleston called Patrick's, which has since been condemned. And, you know, hallelujah for that. I got the best thing out of that, which is nasty. But, you know, this guy, he kind of approached me. I was sitting at the end of the bar, and he tapped my shoulder, and I turned around. And he was like, let's dance. And he was hot. Like, he was sexy hot. Like really, 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 really hot. And I was like, okay, so we're dancing. And I was like, hey, what's your name? He's like, oh, my name's Jeremy. And we got to talking or whatever. He was the most boringest person I think I've ever met in my entire life. But I was like, hell, he's hot. I'll giggle and laugh and twirl my hair if I have to. But this motherfucker is hot. But it got to a point where afterwards, he was in the military. He was in the Navy. And of course, back then there was the whole don't ask, don't tell, so he had to be very discreet. So there wasn't a whole lot of, contact between he and I, except for on the weekends when he was able to get out. And we had a good time. But then there came a point where it was like, oh my God, I don't want to see him because his stories are boring. I can give two shits about, what is it, lightning, the lantern, got lantern, lightning, plant, what is it, the lantern, lantern man? I don't know.
Oh, Green Lantern?
That, yes. Loves that green person. Oh, my gosh. And he did not stop talking about it. And that wasn't what ended the relationship. That was getting close to ending the relationship, but I found out that he cheated on me with his roommate, so I told the 70 commander that he was homosexual. So don't ever piss me off. Let's just say that one.
Fighting goes so well.
Shallow? Yes. But did I reap benefits from it? Yes. But, you know, I just thought it was interesting how here's this girl who, you know, was really, she seemed initially really cool, but she kind of, you know, kind of crapped out at the end. But, you know, if there's somebody like that who maybe has, like, a boat or, like, a beach house, I don't know if I really can tolerate somebody like that. Like, I could tolerate Jeremy, who had a beach house, because he didn't want to be there at the beach house, and I don't want you to be there. I want you to just give me keys and you go away, and I'll stay at the beach house. I'll give you keys when I'm done. That's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, we all have friends like that. I think as you get older, the relationship side, you start to realize that, not that we're, like, old. I don't want to sound like I'm like, oh, life is almost over. I'm not trying to be dramatic or anything. But you know what I mean. As you get older, you mature more, and also you're like, okay, is it worth me overlooking something that I know eventually is just going to be a deal breaker to be in this relationship when I am whatever the age I am? You just don't have the time to just goof around like you did, and you could be missing out on something that really makes you happy. You know, now that means, like, outside of, like, a random hookup or something like that. Like, if this person's into you and you're kind of into them, but they're kind of boring or whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's not right for either party involved at that point. So exactly. I think as we get older, those things have kind of gone by the wayside, especially as you have relationships. But I think if I was single, I wouldn't even be playing those games. But for friends, yeah, I think people, no matter how old you are, there's always those friends. If you're not using them for something tangible, like you said, like, oh, they have a mansion or a boat, they're just fun in certain situations, or they're fun in groups because you can get away and they, you know, you're just not that good of friends. You're just not that super compatible. You don't want to go to dinner with just them or go to a movie or whatever it may be. Maybe they're fun to be in a big party setting, or maybe they're someone you like playing an intramural sport with and they're fun to be around on the field, but they're so terrible off of it. This is how it is. You're not going to get along with everybody, but you could find something redeeming in just about everyone.
Right.
But, yeah, I think, well, you know, to some level, even if you're just using them for a friendship, you know, on a certain night or whatever. But, hey, it's not wrong if you both parties are on the same page.
I agree. Now let's kind of segue just a little bit off of that. I was reading this article in the Huffington Post, and for those who know me, I love the Huffington Post. I think they just have really, really good shit to talk about. There was this woman who was talking about how she kind of lost the spark with her husband, how she didn't find him attractive anymore, and, you know, she was losing weight, and she was really taking care of herself, and he was kind of doing the opposite, and, you know, their relationship became stagnant, and that spark that they had kind of faded, and she found out that they had less and less to talk about. I know this isn't happening in your current relationship, and it's certainly not happening in mine, but I, you know, it makes me think, you know, how do you bounce back from that? I mean, at the end of the story is that she was open and she told her husband, she was like, hey, look, this is what's going on. I don't feel attracted to you because, you know, I'm living this kind of lifestyle and you're really living the couch potato lifestyle to to the nth degree, and I don't feel that with you. I really want to feel that with you because we really do love each other. You know, and I think that's probably a really, really hard conversation to have with somebody. But, you know, I know that we've probably got like 5 minutes left. But I wanted to find out what your thoughts on it. I mean, if you were feeling that, are you one of those people that's able to say, hey, you know, this is really kind of bothering me. It's really put a dip in our relationship. How can we work on this? And have you ever been able to bounce back from it, or did the relationship ultimately end?
Well, no, I've never had that conversation with someone. I've never had it before is what I'm saying. And pretty much every relationship that I've been in that I ended it, or I effectively ended it by my actions, even if I wasn't the one who was like, this needs to end, was because of that exact reason. Things either got stagnant, I got bored, for lack of a better term. I know it seems kind of callous, but that's not what I mean to that extreme. That's exactly what happened. And in some cases, I just wasn't getting along, we were fighting, and so it just wasn't good anyway. Other cases, the fights were just because of boredom, on my part or their part, and it was one of those situations where it's clear it's not working and no one's saying anything. But if you took those fights away, everything's fine. You still cared about the person, and that makes it very tough. You're like, I don't get it. Like, I care about this person, or I love this person. It's a tough situation to be in, and I've been there, and I've dealt with it the worst way possible, and in every situation. But I was younger, you know, whether it be college or a little bit after college. And I think now that I've learned from those things, and I care about my girlfriend right now. You always say this in the relationship you're in, you care about them more than the people in the past. But, you know, I truly feel that way, and her and I are in a great place. But if we ever got to that point, I'd like to believe that her and I have connected in such a way that if we did get bored or stagnant, you know, in the future, we could actually fight for it, want to fight for it, and it'd be okay to bring up the conversation. I'm hopeful we'll go that way, and just based on conversations we've had and the ways we've dealt with problems that we have had, I feel like we would be able to do it. I feel like you and Matt are the same way.
Yeah. And there's been many conversations with Matthew and I that, you know, we either didn't see eye to eye. I mean, you mentioned the word laundry and Topher, and he'll go on for 45 minutes about how much I fucking hate laundry. I mean, it has to be something worth fighting for. And
I'm
going to pull up a really, really awesome quote. But I think that there is, I think there's a part in everybody that they're willing to not let go, that regardless of all the other crap, that deep inside your heart, you know that this is somebody that you really love, and you know that you guys are great together. There it is. That it's something that's worth fighting for. And, you know, it's kind of that thing, the movie The Mexican, back in 2001 with Brad Pitt, the late and great James Gandolfini and Julia Roberts. And it says, when do you get to that point where enough is enough? When do you get to that point where you say that, you know, that's all you've had and, you know, we really can't seem eye to eye. And a few people love each other, but they just can't seem to get it together. When do you get to that point where enough is enough? And the answer that they gave was beautiful, and it was never. There's never a point where enough is enough. And that's how I feel about Matthew, and I'm pretty sure that's how you feel about your gal. So,
whatever her name is.
Yeah. What is her name? Heather? I don't know.
I've got so many, it's hard to keep track. But I love them all the same.
You've never mentioned her name on the air, so I don't want to be the first one to mention her name.
It's the whole anonymity issue. It's Chelsea. So I was just joking. Her name is Chelsea.
That's right, Chelsea. But for me, that's kind of the quote that I base my relationship off of. There's never going to be a point in my life where I'm going to say, you know what, enough is enough with this. I'm done. Why? Because I'm gonna see myself at 85 years old with this guy. That's really kind of
what if he murders your whole family one night?
Okay, we're not playing the what if game. We got 45 seconds left.
Damn it.
There is no what if at this point.
All right, you know, I was just joking. I knew what you meant. I just had to keep it light. But it was a great show. Thank you again to Laura and Julie from the Orange Spot Coffee House here in North Charleston. Please check them out if you're in the area. Like them on Facebook and stuff, too. It was great. We hope to bring more Charleston-type things to the show in the future. Hopefully you'll still get something out of it, even if you're not from the area. And we'll still do all this other, you know, chat as well. So, Topher, thank you. Check me out at SENG225 on Twitter and holycitycenter.com.
And you can find me on Twitter at iTopher2 and at NoRulesChefMike. Everybody have a great night. Thank you so much, Christian. It was amazing. I hope you guys have a great night.
Too, sir.
Here is your guilty.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is James, a.k.a. Lips, and you're listening to an Uncensored Radio Rewind. Enjoy a topic we sure love talking about. All about sex. Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
Unstoppable, full original, Uncensored Radio.
Woohoo. Wow. We are ramped up. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Nah,
nah. All right,
I'm done.
I know, like, let's just get it on Hump Day.
Let's get it on.
Well, it's called Hump Day for a reason. So, are we, guys? How's everyone doing? Happy Hump Day.
Happy Hump Day. Everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. How is the move, Jeff? That's the biggest thing I think everyone's thinking about.
All the boxes are unpacked in the kitchen. I had a lot more space than I thought I did. We got the plumbing problem fixed this morning.
Okay.
It was an easy 100, but whatever. And we've got just stuff keep piling in, and it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And, well, it didn't help that, I didn't move a damn thing. Joe was like a one-man wrecking crew. Like, he was just going and going and going.
Ooh, that's a man after my heart.
They left trash on the porch because they didn't want to put it out like 4 days before it went out. Literally, I had to borrow trash cans. I brought two from my house extra that I wasn't using. I took two from the neighbor, and there was four trash cans there. They were all full, wow. Overfilled, and there were still like seven more trash bags in the basement.
Wow.
Wow.
And then the cardboard that they had left from the boxes they didn't unpack and the stuff that I mean, oh, my Lord, the whole front yard. I'm like, oh, I hope they take it out because I will just cry.
Oh, well, at least, you know, it's a process. Moving is always, like, the biggest process ever. And but then in, like, 2 weeks, you, like, forgot about the process and you really start enjoying the place, you know?
Right.
You'll
well, Joe, I like unpacking
it,
but Joe is, like, so motivated. He wants to live there this weekend. I'm like, what am I going to do? Leave a couch and, like, the daycare toys at the other house and just go do daycare there and I have to come to work? I'm like, are you kidding? Like, the thought of actually having to get up, shower, and then drive over to the other house, which is only a block away, to work, is like, oh, no. So I can't do that.
Oh,
poor
baby.
Not
for
me,
he actually has to get up and drive to a job.
I'm like, God forbid, we actually did move out to L.A. and had to, like, work. I'm like, I don't know how this will work. Like, what do you mean I can't work at home anymore? You mean I got to get dressed and go in public and things? Like, oh, I don't know about all
that. Oh, Lord.
And, like, the worst part is I'm like, it's cold in the morning. Then I got my car's not going to be warmed up. I'm going to be freezing on my way around the corner.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
I've become way too lazy.
Have you? That's all right. It's just a block. You can, you know, suck it up.
I don't know.
Like,
well, my licensure is coming Friday, so hopefully I'm going to be like, can I just please do daycare here? Like, you're here. It's okay, right? Just let me do it.
Wow. Well, at least, you know, like, I'm kind of like Joe. Like, I'm kind of the type when I know that we're going to move. I want everything. Like, I'm the crazy woman who, when we pack, we'll always hire movers just because it makes it a little easier and it's, like, the best money ever spent because they do all the heavy lifting. But I literally, like, will have everything unpacked that day. And
oh, no,
it'll be like,
I'm the one for that.
It'll be like,
it
never
happened. He, like, piled it all up in the hallway, and I was like, oh, no.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, he wants it, he wants his part out of the way. He's like,
right.
You go ahead and have that.
And I would love to hire movers, but I'm too cheap because I have a great one, and his name's Joe. I'm telling you, if I ever had to move without him, I'd lose my marbles.
You know what's going to be interesting? Like, just to see how this all plays out in the next, like, couple of weeks, because I can see this. Like, Jeff's new house has a man cave. So now that Joe has pretty much got his part more or less done, moving the crap in, he's going to go up to his man cave, hook up his Xbox, and close the door. And poor Jeffy's going to be downstairs yelling, screaming, swearing under his breath, unpacking all the crap.
No, I won't. No, that was the deal.
Yeah, yeah, you say that now.
No, I actually like doing that part because it's a new house, so you get to figure out where everything goes and, you know, get organized. Like, I like that. I actually had a lot of fun doing the kitchen tonight.
Aww. So what are you going to do if you did the kitchen, you know? Like, how are you guys going to eat the next couple days?
Well, I was out, like, literally, I have enough kitchen stuff for, like, four people. Like, it's a little sad. Like, so I literally, like, a month ago, packed all the kitchen stuff that I'm like, okay, I'm going down to the minimum. I didn't pack, like, any of the dishes, which I could have because I have enough place settings, you know, for a hotel.
Okay.
But I didn't. But I packed, like, I have tons of extra Tupperware, like, I mean, like, the Pyrex pans. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I had, like, all that stuff unpacked and just, like, I packed all the shot glasses. So when we did my birthday party, there was no shot glasses and everybody was pissed at me. But it wasn't bad.
Well,
so it's a lot.
It sounds like you got it sounds like you got a lot of stuff, but it sounds like you got a plan and you got a mission.
Until I open the oven wall, I'm gonna take a picture of it tomorrow and I'm gonna post it on the Facebook page for Unscripted. I'm like, where the hell am I gonna fit a turkey and a ham in that damn oven? Like, it's tiny, it's
tiny?
In the wall. I'm like, okay, look, I'm a guinea, I don't know how to work with this.
Right. Well, so where's the stove? Is the stove like kind of like a countertop kind of stove kind of thing?
Like the burners is in the counter, yeah, and then in the wall next to it is like the stove. But it's just so tiny.
Oh.
I'm like, I can't even make more than like two pizzas in there, and I got to use the small pans.
Oh, wow.
Hey, you know what?
Wow.
This will be good for you because maybe you won't make so much food to feed an army. See, that's
there
the thing with
go.
Jeff Hart. Like, he makes a ton of food. It's hilarious. Like, five people will be there. But he has enough to feed a whole, like, army battalion in Iraq. It's nuts.
Honey, I've got bad news. I went on Overstock.com and already ordered two of those extra roasting pans.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I'm cooking one way or another, damn it.
I know, right? Yeah, you'll
be outside.
Well,
he's in the middle of January cooking on his barbecue grill, a little hibachi in the backyard.
You know, there's a big grill. She left one. Like, I already had a grill, but she left a bigger one. I was like, hey.
Hey.
And then she left two bikes and her washer and dryer. I'm like, okay,
you know,
now we're going to have four.
Well, you know, down south, they fry turkey. So maybe you fry a turkey.
My neighbors, I've never gotten to try some. And I'm like, ooh, you know, because I'm the fat kid. So
it's
I'm like,
great.
Give me some fried turkey.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know
what's good?
Better than you can imagine. Like, it's not like with fried chicken. Like, it doesn't have that. But it's very moist and very good. So, but it's, you know, obviously you got to know how to do it because it could be dangerous.
You know what? So, have you guys ever heard of garbage can chicken?
No.
I'm sorry.
How do you do that?
It's like, okay, we did it once at my grandparents' house. A little bit of backstory on this. But my grandparents are legit, like, live-off-the-earth farmers. Well, they were. They're not anymore. They're, like, tired living in old folks' home. But we do these family campouts every year, and the one year we did garbage can chicken. Like, you seriously take, like, a metal trash can, like the old-school ones that, like, Oscar the Grouch lived in, and you pack it full of, like charcoal and embers and everything, and you get, like, so it's like an oven, and you take the whole chicken, you shove a beer can up its ass, open, and then as it cooks, like, the beer explodes into the chicken, and then you have to, like, unbury it when it's done. It is, like,
wow.
The best chicken you've ever had. It's insane. You guys got to Google it. Garbage can chicken. It's crazy.
I will totally. It sounds like something I would love to do if I had,
what,
like,
a beer,
you know,
chicken's
backyard. Yeah. I bet it has so much flavor.
Oh, it does. Especially if you use, like, a really, like, a dark beer, like a Guinness, that really has the hops.
Yeah. Like, moist and just delicious. I bet it has, like, amazing flavor.
Look, I can cook a bird, but I'm not trying to, like, pull the stuff out of it. I don't really care for that part. And my friend traumatized me one Thanksgiving. I was cooking. I had this huge bird. I had, like, 25 people coming. It was kind of crazy. And, like, she was chasing me around the kitchen. She had the bird on her arm, like she was sticking it up its ass, you know, and she'd, like, pulled out the stuff, and I'm gagging, losing my mind. And then she pulled out that thing that kind of looks like a penis.
The neck?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what it is,
right.
But it looks like
it's
a penis.
It's like
whatever. I was losing my mind. Like, I always
get like
that part growing up. Like, I'm not trying to see what's in the bird's ass, and I'm not trying to stick my hand in a bird, neither. And this bitch, Trish the Dish, is chasing me around the kitchen with the bird on her arm, flapping its freaking wings. I was losing my gourd.
That's funny.
Like, I just wanted to slap the shit out of her, but she was trying to slap me with a beer, or up with a bird. It was not okay.
That's funny.
That's
funny.
Speaking of sticking your arm in something's ass, What the hell we got on the thing tonight?
All right, well.
We have a crazy topic.
We really do. This is going to get interesting, guys. And if you want to call in and talk about your crazy sex tales as well, it's 323-417-6705. Just push 1 so we know y'all want to talk. We're going to go to news break first, then we'll come back and talk about it. But just a little preview. There was this couple that went skydiving and did it, like naked. Like, they... Yeah. It's an insane
how?
Story. So
I don't even know how that could be possible. Yeah, let's get to it.
I'm hoping
it was straight people, because it'd be a little complicated for the gays.
it was a guy and a girl.
Especially lesbians. It's not like you can even go one upside down, because they're going to smash their head.
Oh, no.
Look at you picked this topic. You can't expect me not to go there. Somebody call Michael Fishman. Tell him to call in.
All right. Well, you know what? All right. Well, you hold that thought about the lesbians and their flappers slapping in the breeze, because we're going to go to news break. And we will be...
Flappers slapping in the breeze. Oh, my goodness. Why did I just mention that? My eyes.
Oh, God. Poor Karen's virgin eyes. All right, so here's what's happening in today's headline.
Here are the stories we're taking a look at in tonight's headlines. Citigroup has agreed to pay $285 million to settle civil fraud charges that it misled buyers of a complex mortgage investment just as the housing market was starting to collapse. The Securities and Exchange Commission said Wednesday that the big Wall Street bank bet against the investment in 2007 and made $160 million in fees and profits, while investors lost millions. Taking a look at politics tonight, Texas Governor Rick Perry is calling for a replacement of the federal income tax with a flat tax, a conservative idea condemned by liberals as a regressive burden on lower and middle income taxpayers. The Republican presidential hopeful previewed his economic plan for the country at the Western Republican Leadership Conference in Las Vegas, but offered few details. In entertainment headlines, in a blistering hearing today, Judge Stephanie Sautner revoked Lindsay Lohan's probation, had her cuffed, and set a hearing for November 2nd, when Lindsay could end up getting as much as a year and a half in jail. The judge concluded Lindsay violated her probation. Although Lindsay could get sentenced to nearly a year and a half in jail, a frustrated Judge Sautner noted new laws and overcrowding would make such a sentence unlikely. For all these stories and much, much more, visit unscriptedradio.com.
Everyone, this is Reba McEntire for RAD. You know, I see a lot of funny things traveling all over this beautiful country of ours, but one thing that's not very funny is when someone gets in a car trying to drive when they're drunk. Take their keys away from them, because friends don't let friends drive drunk. A
public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, this is Karen Ashley from Unscripted Radio. Be sure to catch up with us on our website and our Facebook page for upcoming interviews and so much more. Your favorite shows are also available on demand at unscriptedradio.com. And now, on with the show.
Friends don't let friends let Lindsay Lohan drive drunk. She obviously didn't hear that.
Right. God.
I don't know. I think maybe friends don't let friends smoke crack would probably be better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Smoke crack, drive drunk.
You know, shoot up heroin. I don't know. Just an idea.
Something like that. Now, this year is Reba McEntire, and friends don't let friends let Lindsay Lohan smoke crack. Do you see her doing her feet by... You need to take her out back and shoot her, put her down like a dirty dog.
Give her a can of whoop ass. Open up a can of whoop ass on her. She just needs
have you
to be
like taking in some fumes?
I'm from Texas, so that's just, you know, I've got it in me. I've got the country in me. You can get the girl at the country, but you can't get the country at the girl.
That she do. If you can't take the turkey guts, well then you shouldn't have stuck your hand up the turkey.
If you can't take the turkey neck out. Man. Lindsay,
you two had lost your minds.
They need to just put her like with the general population for like a day or two, and I'm sure she'll get it together. Like, I mean, really, all you had to do was go and, like, sweep and, like, serve, you know, I forget, it was like, wasn't it like a homeless shelter and she had to clean up?
It was a women's shelter, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it couldn't have been that bad, you know? It just couldn't have been. It's crazy. Crazy.
You know, speaking
crazy
of taking
nonsense.
Somebody's, oh, sorry. But speaking of somebody's, taking somebody's keys, the crazy cat lady across the way just messaged me on the horn and said, remember when I took Mike's keys? And I'd just like to share this little story. You know, we went out for Joey's birthday a few years back. Michael, you know, it was before he got his good job and he was having a little rough times. And sometimes he would drink and get crazy. But, honey, he, like, pounded him down, and he's just kind of sitting at the bar, and his head's starting to nod down because he's lost his mind. He disappears and goes in the bathroom. So I go in there as he's washing his hands, and I go to the bathroom. I come back out. He took off. He started running from the bar. He ran home. Like, he was Forrest Gump. This fool was just running. So I, like, call my neighbor. I was like, it's Mike's truck there. You got to head him off. You got to head him off. He's going for the truck. Get the keys. He's fighting her like a crazy mad dog. Like, he had rabies. See, and this is when you have to be careful. So then I had to come find him. I took the keys and I hid them in the grill because I knew he'd never looked there.
Right.
Needless to say, like, he was flipping out. Oh, Lord. Like, that's when you got to worry about your friends, is when you take their keys and they go crazy, sometimes you just got to knock them out.
They bug out. They get
like,
mad.
I forewarned him after that. I was like, you pull that stunt again and try to get your keys, Sonya's got handcuffs and you're going on the telephone pole for the night.
That's funny. Yeah, they get mad. When you take someone's keys, they get mad. And it's never like, oh, thank you for driving me home, or, oh, you're right, I can't drive. You know, no, they get pissed. They get so mad at you, and that's what kills me. Because I'm like,
well, you know, it's horrible. Because when you're drunk, you think you're okay.
That's ridiculous.
You know, and I mean, it's really sad for me to admit, but I mean, I did it all the time when I was younger. Like, I literally was the DD, as in the drunk driver, for everybody. And they would let me. Like, I had friends, literally, there was one that I crawled out of the bar. And they're like, you okay to drive?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
It's not funny, but I'm trying to be funny because, I mean, looking back, it was, but it's a serious thing. But I'm like, I'm okay, just get me in the seat and start the car, I'll get us home. And they got me in the car, they started the car, and I got us home. Wow. I mean, we drove through ice storms. People were off the road everywhere. I was lit, and I got us home. It took us 6 hours for a half an hour trip, but I got us home. I mean, it was a weekly thing, and at that age, I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
So I crashed the car.
Oh, no.
I was on a highway. I smashed. So I came back from a little endeavor, and I was all dressed up into something, and you guys can use your imaginations. I just had a costume on. I'll leave it at that. And I smashed into a guardrail because I fell asleep. There's nobody else on the highway, and I pulled the car over, so I thought I did, and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to have to change the tire because I whacked the guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
I get out of the car. There's no front tire.
Oh, no.
I completely ripped it off the car, and the only thing that was left on the back tire was the rim.
Wow.
I mean, it was bad. It was bad.
Wow. Yeah.
And I honestly, like, I was drunk and stupid. I didn't even think it was an accident because I sideswiped a guardrail. Like, it didn't involve another car. Like, whatever. Like, I'll leave it there and call a tow truck in the morning.
Right.
Needless to say, I got a hit and run. You'd think I'd learned my lesson. I didn't. I did it again. This time, I hit a telephone pole in front of a trooper's barracks, which nobody was there.
What?
So, like, I had to call, waited for them, like, whenever they showed up, they, like, put me in the back of the cop car, and the one chick was, she came the first time because she had to come to my house because it was considered a hit and run, which I was like, what do you mean it's a hit and run? I didn't hit nobody's car, I hit a guardrail.
Right.
Apparently, and frowned upon. Well, she got there, she was nice, I mean, she fixed my hair and everything, and, you know, they asked, had you been drinking? I said, well, yeah, you know, I had a few, and whatever. And, and the officer, I read the report after her, like he did everything, and he's like, I have slurred speech. I'm like, officer, I'm a faggot. I don't have slurred speech. That's how I talk. Like, and you have never heard a state trooper's barracks just lose their mind. Like, it really was a production number.
Wow.
But I'm telling you, take it from me. I've learned the hard way. It's crazy expensive. It's embarrassing. And I crossed the median that night and hit the telephone pole. I could have killed somebody. And that's when I woke up.
That's when you woke up.
Like,
okay,
this is not okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, good. Good.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've always been that person that I just was, like, deathly afraid of that. So I just, you know, I was always the designated driver. Like, you'd have loved me as a friend because, I mean, I drink, and I, you know, I love to, you know, but it's few and far between. Like, I'm so focused on work and everything that I just, like, you know, and then I'm the type of person, I'd rather eat my calories than drink them. So, like, okay, glass of wine or some ice cream, you know? Like, I literally think that. So it's like, you know, I'm the designated driver. Like, all my friends love going out with me because they know I might have one drink, and it'll be at the beginning of the night, and I won't drink at all the rest of the night, and I'll be perfectly fine to drive, you know?
Well, see,
and
I think that was my problem, is that everybody expected me to drive because they'd seen me, and even the sober people. I could do it. At least I thought I could.
Right.
Everybody said I could do it, and they said I was great at it. Like, you would never know, because I really did. Like, most of the times, people didn't even know that I was as drunk as I was. Like, I was really good at hiding it, but I was, you know, I'm a big guy.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's no excuse. And, like, it was just allowed to go on, and it was enabled by everybody. You know, nobody ever said to stop. I never thought about it. And the thing, looking back on it, two of my friends died in a drunk driving accident. Like, what? I mean, you know, and it took me crossing a median to be like, okay. And $5,000, you know, later. Like, I was like, oh, God, okay, I got it. I'll never do it again. But I'll tell you the funny thing. At the time, I was into some things. And the first thing, when I walked into the lawyer's office, he said to me, was if you're smoking pot or sniffing coke, you better stop now. And I just looked at my friend and I said, he must be a psychic.
Oh, wait, Jeff, you got people yelling in your background. They need to be quiet.
Excuse me. Hi, I'm doing a radio show here. You think y'all can shut the fuck up and then have your conversation in your own house or something? Get the hell out of
my
way.
Oh, my goodness.
Go in the house. Jesus Christ.
They're like,
just trying to have
back.
A show here. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to take your name in vain. But these bitches pissed me off. I say that with love.
Right.
Where I come from, bitch is a term of endearment. If I don't call you a bitch, you know I don't like you.
Oh, all right. Well, we actually need to get a little bit back on track because I've been tweeting all night about how we're going to talk about crazy sex. And
crazy sex.
Sex in the air. Crazy sex. So,
tell me about,
right.
Tell me how this happened. Is there a video?
Okay, so,
can we see this?
I bet you if you Google it, there was a video, but it got taken down because, well, they were nude. It was on YouTube for like
right,
a whole
they were
10
they
minutes.
Were. Buck naked?
But, yeah, this is how this happened. All right. So, we have a porn star and weekend skydiving instructor, Alex Torres, who's also known as Voodoo, filmed himself and a Taft receptionist, her name was Hope Howell, doing the deed at thousands of feet above the ground. It seemed like they had covered all the bases, according to KGET, a local television station.
Did they have safe sex?
Right? That is
the
question.
That would be the question.
I'm not going to space and jump out of a plane, but, you know, I mean, I'm just
right,
saying.
So,
no need
oh, wait,
to, like,
I just
got to
put this one thing. If you're on the
horn,
if you're in the queue and you want to get on air, make sure you press 1, because I tweeted some people about calling in.
Okay, so... They did this early in the morning to ensure that they didn't get busted for public nudity because they were like they're you can Google and there's still images and stuff and you may be able to still find the video but they were buck naked like her titties are flapping in the breeze and his man jumps
ouch.
Oh,
was she a big girl?
No. She's
well,
using all little.
They would call him Will Flap if it's like going 100 miles an hour, like free falling.
But Karen, you've had some experience skydiving.
No, I have. You know what? I never did. That was total green screen. We jumped out of a plane, a prop plane, that was like onto like on a foam. You know, we never. They wouldn't allow us to skydive because they were like, if one of you. Like, if something malfunctions and something bad happens, it, you know, that's it. That's the end of this show, you know? So,
exactly.
No, I'm definitely afraid of it. I would never do it. Ever.
I would do it. I would never have sex, though, just for the simple fact that, I mean, although this is a crazy stunt, but the FBI and the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, are actually investigating
mm-hmm.
this. To see if they violated any FAA regulations, because as you guys know, when you're in the air in a plane, you're bound by the FAA and the rules. Like, obviously, you can't have sex in airplane bathrooms and things like that. So the only thing that they
right.
might be able to get these guys on, because the FAA regulations extend to commercial planes and, well, really all planes, but they don't extend to situations where you're free-falling, like skydiving. So the only thing...
Right.
they may be able to bust this couple on, is that they actually started having sex in the plane in front of the pilot. So they may be able to get them
right.
For distracting the pilot, which may have caused an accident. But the skydiving company actually was saying that the pilot wasn't really distracted. I mean, if anything, he was being a little voyeuristic. He would have looked back to check on skydivers regardless of if they were doing it or not. So
right. Oh, this
I mean,
just seems like the most hilarious thing ever.
I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing? I mean, so this kind of leads me into our question. I'll put Jeff on the spot since he's been sharing tonight all of his crazy
I know,
stories
right?
from the other day. Where is the craziest place, Jeff, that you've ever had sex?
Oh, boy. Well, it's kind of hard to really tell because, I mean, I can't really tell the one without, like, explaining what was going on because it was more complicated and dangerous than anything else. But the one I can share was one night at a bar.
The one I can't
share. One night. What had happened was, there was just a few of us. It was the gay bar that I worked, the gay club that I worked at, and it was like the owner was there, the bartender, a couple of our friends, or whatever. And we were just hanging out because nobody was in there. And we always would play, the memory game with the colored condoms because the one side you couldn't see through. I don't know. We were bored. So this guy comes in that my friend like really liked. Like she thought he was hot, wanted to hook up with him or whatever. So I go over there, and at the time I was wearing like 3-inch heel boots and craziness. My nails were long and my hair was dead and I had some mascaras on. Like I was crazy. And I'm like, so are you gay or straight? And he's like, oh, I'm straight, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, well, my friend likes you, and he's, like, talking to me and whatever. And, like, it's the time I was so young and dumb and naive, like, and I was so afraid of people.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, he, like, whatever, and he's, like, you know, and he was, like, hitting on me, and I didn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying he's straight. We ended up out in the car, because he's like, I'll give you your number. I'm like, all right, come up to my car. I'll give you my number to give to her, whatever. And then he's like, get me in the car. Needless to say, something happened, and everybody ran to the dressing room because the car was parked in front of the window, and everybody that was in the bar watched.
Oh! And he
wow.
said he was straight, and then went to the car and, like, hooked you up.
Yeah.
Wow.
That
wow.
is crazy.
And
that
I was going to say,
crazy.
If married couples are fine.
Oh, boy. Oh,
did
wow.
you,
all right, well.
Did you know people were watching?
I kind of knew like they would because, like, I mean, there were some shenanigans that went on in the back room in that place. And that was the closest time I ever got to being involved in them. So, I mean, it wasn't a regular thing. Like, these guys were very voyeuristic. Like,
right.
we would all, like, literally the bar would close and we'd all get on, like, the chat line and listen and, like, be like, oh, come let us see you. And then if we did, like, we would go, like, drive by the Denny's down the street and they'd be, like, waiting outside. And, like, this one guy had on these, like, white cowboy boots and this cowboy. I mean, it was just, I mean, we would just laugh. So, I mean, we were always bad. I mean,
wow.
but I was a prude.
Wow.
Like, I was such a prude. And, like, I was so, like, traumatized after that whole experience. Like, I was like, no. Because I was not a hookup person, but I was afraid to say no.
Right.
Like, I was that stupid, you know?
I think our midget, our little person friend in the chat room actually called it out. She says, Jeff,
that's
was,
not for me.
You were gaysed it. She says you were gaysed it.
Never happened. That was shame on you, the drag queen that used to do that.
All right. So, well, we actually have a caller on the line, one of our regular listeners. Michelle is on with us, and I don't know if she wanted to. I think she wanted to go into the sex thing. I'm not sure. But, Michelle, you're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey, Chicky.
Hi, Karen. Nice to meet you, finally.
Nice to meet you. Hello.
Is everybody having a great evening?
Oh, it's fun, girl. It's getting real fun.
Well, you
it's
never...
on tonight. It
you never
on.
Know what's going to come out of these boys' mouths, I'll tell you.
I know. I'm learning.
You know what? I'm starting to realize Karen is just as bad. She just is a little more reserved.
I'm the PG version.
She's coming
I
out the shell, okay? We're going to bust her out. The next thing you know, this girl's going to be dropping the F-bomb and saying some foul shit.
Oh,
well,
I think
she let loose after you guys lose the connection because, you know, we never get to hear it.
Right.
Well, I wanted to share a story with you guys, if I could. It didn't go quite as far as sex. We didn't get that far. But I was at a party one time, and there was a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls, and they were all hooking up, and I hooked up with somebody. But I was a little bit shy at that point, and I didn't want to be, and things were going all over. You know, there was just a regular old orgy going on. So we moved to the bathroom, and we were just talking and carrying on, and decided to kiss a while. And we laid down on the floor and up underneath the sink. Right? So, opposite
of that, on the floor, underneath the sink. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. We weren't doing a thing but kissing. I mean, you know, it was just, you know, just kissing and everything.
Okay, no, wait, did you notice that the bathroom was dirty? Because that's what I'd be looking for.
Oh, God, no. It's got to be nice. I mean, this is a nice
place.
Yeah,
I'd be stopping and then, like, wiping the people's bathroom down. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, it was nice. Fuzzy rugs and the whole bit. I mean, it was really nice. So, anyway, but he was opposite the door, so his feet were actually in the door, holding the door shut. Well, he raises up and knocks himself out on the bottom of the sink.
Oh, no.
So I got this 200-pound man on top of me, completely passed out. I didn't know whether he was breathing or not. And he's got the door shut with his feet.
No.
So nobody can get in, and I'm screaming because, you know, I don't know what the heck is going on. I can't get him off me.
Oh,
and they can't get the door open.
Right there.
Door. So I'm kicking his feet up, trying to get his knees to go and trying to get out from underneath.
You know, it's like complete dead weight.
And wow. I'm going, oh, my God, I don't even know this man's name. They're going to come in here and say, who is this? I don't know. So I'm looking at his wallet. I mean, they finally get the door open, and I'm looking at his wallet going, okay, his name's Tim. Okay. All right, now call somebody.
I love the fact that you're hooking up and don't know his name.
We were just talking. We actually had just moved.
Look, I've had some crazy times, but I've never had somebody get knocked out.
I've made him weak in the knees before. I've never made him, you know, knock themselves out before. But yeah, it was pretty bad. The ER, you know, the folks came and got him and took him off and
Yeah, it was.
But fortunately, we were fully clothed. I mean, we had just started talking, you know, and just started messing around a bit. But, yeah, it was pretty funny. Yep.
Wow.
So I could live down for a very long time.
So the question is, did you ever see him after this?
I did see him after that, but he had no clue who I was.
You should have been like, Concho, you're the son of a bitch that passed out on me because you knocked your ass out with the sink.
He knew. He was embarrassed. I couldn't imagine that would be like something you would be like, ha, ha, ha. Like, that's probably the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to him.
It was just horrible. But I thought for sure that, you know, the coroner was going to have to be there peeling him off of me.
Okay, look, I have to say if somebody died while I was having sex with them, that'd probably be the last time I ever had sex.
Yeah, well, close.
That'd probably be a wrap.
Yeah, and plus I made a lot of people upset because, you know, I interrupted a party with these, you know, at first they thought I was just having a really good time.
Right, very nothing worse than like a tragedy.
Yeah, it was a party buster for sure. Yep, it was. And the police came there, so it, you know, people scattered because, you know, most of us were underage anyway.
So it was like a whole big orgy party, like a sex party.
It didn't mean to be that, but that's what it turned into. Yeah,
I was invited to one of those when I lived in Arizona, and like I kind of wanted to go because I was just nosy. But I was like, oh, no, what if they asked me to take my clothes off? I can't do that.
Well, and people would just go up, you know, like, and there were, like, bedrooms full of people, you know, like two and three couples and stuff. And that happened pretty early in the evening. Well, that happens a lot at parties anyway, so it was like, yeah, whatever. But then they brought it into the living room, and I was like, can we go someplace and talk? So we headed to the bathroom because we figured that would be safe, and then one thing led to another in there. And, you know, it was like, oh, my goodness.
That sounds like when I lived in New York City, I got invited to an underwear party. I mean, I didn't go because I was by myself in New York City, and I meet these people online, and they're like, there's an underwear party in Brooklyn. Why don't you come? And I'm like, I have to be naked and nothing but my underwear in a house full of a bunch of horny guys. I'm like, in Brooklyn, that just sounds like not a good
time. Trouble.
Self-conscious.
And this is Mike, too, right? So you're packing.
Oh, God.
I didn't know how you know this.
You missed that episode, Karen. You missed that episode, baby.
We were getting into trouble.
Lord. Yeah.
Karen, this is way before your time. Like, Michelle has been listening, like, almost since when we started this show, when Madison used to be on with us. Her and I would go back and forth talking about my donkey. So, hold on.
Your story about passing out, it kind of reminded me. I did have one embarrassing time where I have really bad asthma, and I broke out into an asthma attack while it was going down. And they're like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I'm like, no, stop.
Oh, God.
I kept plugging away. But then I got up half naked, and, like, I had one of those ghetto osculating fans, and the fan guard was off it. Can I tell you how that didn't end well for me?
Oh,
wow.
It was my ass. So it was, I mean, it wasn't too bad, but still it was embarrassing, like the fan thing, and it sounded like something else. So I'm like, no, I swear it wasn't me.
Wow.
So, Karen, you're being kind of quiet.
Have you ever had someone actually start crying during sex? Jeff,
yes,
I could
it's the worst. It's like the buzzkill of buzzkill.
Okay, I would have slapped the shit out of him and then thrown them out of my house naked.
Right.
Jeff knows this story. Like, this is back from my day when I lived in Liverpool, and I, I'm not going to lie about it. 95% of the guys I meet online through websites. So I met this guy, and pretty much, 99%, he was younger. Yeah, all right, whatever, shush. So I met this guy online. I go pick him up at his house. This is, like, during the middle of a blizzard, by the way. Driving back to my place, and we're fooling around, having fun, whatever. And he was, do they even still use the term emo anymore? Do those people exist? But anyway.
Yeah. They totally
okay,
do.
So they're still around. So this kid was emo or whatever, and it was like around the holidays. We're making out underneath the Christmas tree. It's all very nice. Then it moves to the bedroom, and we're fooling around. Next thing I know, like, he starts shaking, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then I look up at him, and he's, like, crying. I'm like, oh, okay.
Why?
I'm like, did I bite? I'm like, did I bite you? Did my teeth hit something? I'm like, what's going on here? And
oh, my God.
So he's like, well, I really like this other guy, and I just don't know. I can't do this. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. And then he's like,
oh,
well,
wow.
Will you take me home? I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do at this point? You know, like, freaking
right.
Half
yeah,
naked,
absolutely.
Laying in my bed. And he's like, will you take me home? And I'm like, sure, why not?
Right. Where do you live? Right. Oh, my
yeah, he
God.
Lived like a good 35 minutes away in a blizzard. I should have left his ass next to Frosted.
Well, Mike,
wait,
what about
oh my
that? Oh, my gosh. Mike, you, that one
guy
from the
guy.
Bar that we hooked you up with that was total. Okay, how many of you, Karen, I'm asking
oh
you this question, too. How many of you have woke
yes.
up with, you know, what was it called? The Coyote Ugly, where you want to gnaw your damn arm off? How many of you have done that?
Wait.
Anybody?
With the Coyote
wait,
Ugly?
Who did I, just when you wake up and they're so goddamn ugly, you'd rather bite your own arm off than wake them up?
Right, you had the beer goggles on. You couldn't put the beer goggles on, and all of a sudden they were, like, hot, but then you wake up and they're not. No, thank God
yeah,
I had
this.
Who did
I hook up with that this happened to me? I don't remember this.
Look,
you
I did it
me?
Once.
I don't remember.
Once in
well,
my life.
Luckily, I didn't, but you know what? My girlfriend, she always had her beer goggles on, like, to the point where we were, like, we had to wash her. We had to, like, make sure she wasn't, like, getting with the ugly dude at the club. Like, it was, like, because we were, like, you're going to regret it. And we finally would tell her, you got your beer goggles on. And she would be like, oh, my God, my dude. And we were like, ugh. It was like babysitting every single
yeah,
time.
Well, that's how my friend Lisa and I, we'd go out and we'd both get plastered. And, like, you know, we were, like, on the cruise, like, looking for some folks. And we,
mm-hmm.
the one night, I don't know how, I was the make-out hoe. Like, I, you know, I never really went any further than that, but I'd make out with everybody. And this one guy in particular, we were on the dance floor, and I gave him a happy little, I'm in the middle of the dance floor with everybody dancing around. Nobody even knew. I just had my hands down his drawers. And I, whatever. I was making out with him, and I guess we brought him home, and I did not remember any of it in the morning. And so Lisa called me, and she's laughing hysterically. And she's like, do you remember what you did last night? And literally, my gut started turning, and for the first time in my life, I truly, really felt shame and was just disgusted with myself. Like,
oh God,
it came back, and then
time.
He was, like, the crazy stalker kid that kept calling me, and, like, he called, like, three times the first day, and then the next day, I don't know if you're getting any of my messages, but this is me from the other night, you're so amazing, and blah, 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 and then I'm getting the
yeah,
messages
you gave
on
them
my
the,
face,
you gave them
and
the
emails, and the text messages. I'm
wow.
like, oh, dear Lord.
That was
that
a little one, crazy. Wasn't it?
It was bad. Oh, the poor kid was ugly. And then years later, in the last year, one of my friends started hanging out in the same town I did, which, of course, met all these people who knew me, and I don't know how my name ever got brought up. Doesn't she become
uh-oh.
Friends with the kid? And she has a birthday party, and who's supposed to be coming? So now, of course, I've got to own up and tell Joe the story.
Oh, no!
I was like, oh,
God.
And then I told Joe the story, and did the kid even show up to the party? No.
Oh, wasted confession.
I was
well,
like,
Karen.
I don't talk about
Karen,
like
you're being,
extras or anything.
You're being
like, we don't
quiet.
Talk about
I'm here.
Am I? I think I just like totally injected. Am I being awful
right.
quiet?
Well,
I haven't
well,
looked right. anybody ugly.
All right, how about this? We'll switch it up. We'll do this a little bit more.
Wait,
fantasy.
I have one question
like,
for Karen. Did you ever hook up
yes,
with the suit? With the suit?
With the suit. With
your,
the
you know, the yellow suit. Do you ever wear your helmet in the bedroom?
No.
Come on, girl.
No.
Oh.
We didn't even get to take take them home.
Oh, well, that's so fun.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you, they guarded those things with, like, their, with like, I don't know. They had armed guards, those suits. Never did.
Dude, I have a pink one you can borrow.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so.
I might get you up on that, girl. I might get you up on that. My anniversary's coming up in January.
Crazy. Okay, so here's the question for you guys,
yeah,
for all of us. Michelle, you can join in, too, since we've got you on the line.
Absolutely.
If you could have no fear of getting caught, like no one seeing you, not like, you know, nothing
mm-hmm.
like getting caught, like police, public, what would be the craziest place you would want to have sex? And try to top the skydiving sex couple if you can.
Oh, my gosh. How can you top that?
Yeah.
That's a freak of nature.
All I know is
like
anything, I would not want to be anywhere near the ground where they were because, you know, things, oh, God, juices.
Yeah. I haven't
like,
yeah,
if I was just driving down the highway, something lands on your windshield, and you're like, damn, bird.
You know, my neighbors and I were talking about this in the car the other day on the way home from the pumpkin patch, and we were like, okay, so they were fully naked, obviously, except for wearing the parachute. They must have got windburned. Then I got to think about it. Can you imagine... You're, like, naked, and you land in a cornfield? I mean, you get, like, a corn stalk
like
up your bum. Oh, God.
Okay,
oh.
But I know for the girl. Okay, girls, maybe you could help
that
me. Could you imagine
well.
Coming down, landing, or, like, being in air, coming down that far and having your legs spread? Hey, talk about being windblown.
Well, talk about being dried up. Like, how is that even sexy? Like, it all dries up.
That's
like,
right.
Ow.
Yeah, that's right.
Ow.
That's taking, we taking enough air as it is.
Honey, like, you'll be queefing for days.
Well, we might take off a whole other direction.
We might want to put this show on explicit tonight. We're going to get sued.
Right. Oh, my God. But you know what? I'm a D-cup. I couldn't imagine letting the girls out in the wind. Like, I couldn't even imagine. Oh,
you're
my
gonna
God.
Get a little suffocation
that
going on.
Thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, my God. One of them might hit him, and he might be knocked out for a week. We might have the same injury that the guy had with the sink.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he'll land and be like, we would have dived on Monday, and he wakes up, and it's Thursday. Like, man, gosh. I don't know if you can top that. Like, that's, like, untoppable. Like, I mean, people
I think
always
my
are
place
like,
would
oh,
be
I
in...
want to be on the beach, or I want to be in a plane, or... But, I mean, really, can you top a skydiver? It's just, I mean, you can't.
I got
I
it.
Think
I'm
my
top
place
of a moving
be...
train.
Okay.
Ooh,
why not?
What if you roll off, though? What if you roll off?
No.
You got to be strapped in.
I know, right? One position only.
I don't know, a hot air balloon or something, maybe?
Maybe.
Michelle, what was your thought? I know you're trying to say something.
Mine would be the drive-through at the Jack in the Box.
Oh.
Like, get it in before you get to the window?
Yeah, that's right. I hope it's a slow night. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No. You know, that's crazy. That's funny.
Yeah. No, I mean, just park right there and let them hear the whole thing. Right there at the, at the order window. Yeah, I'll have more of that and a little bit of that and go to the left and to the right and, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, we actually had that happen
hilarious.
At the Taco Bell drive-thru. I swear to God, this girl was going down on her boyfriend when he was driving.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've seen some interesting things.
Wow.
Yeah,
so, this probably happens all the time. Like, it probably happens. Everything that we could think of, people are doing it. Because if you can think about it, somebody has the courage to do it. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, and I'm sure
well, yeah,
truck drivers are loving it because they can see in everybody's vehicle.
Oh, God. Absolutely. Well, you know, back in the day, like, I
mm-hmm.
used to work retail at I think they're still around, Eddie Bauer. I don't think there's very many stores left, but
yeah,
clothing
stores. I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, yeah, I used to work there, and I actually had to go clean some stuff off of one of the dressing room walls. Yeah, people, they got it on in the dressing room.
Wow, you had to clean it? You had to clean it? Oh.
I did.
Oh, you couldn't pay me enough.
Oh, I'd be like in a hazmat suit. I couldn't do it.
Pretty much. I mean, it's so disgusting. I mean, you're touching someone else's gook, you know?
Oh, yeah. I was like, can you get the hose? I'd be like, can we get a hose in here?
Can we just repaint and spackle over that, please?
Clean up an aisle nine.
No. I wonder if they went on to try on clothes afterwards.
That actually leads me.
Right.
Okay. The grossest thing that I've ever encountered, this is sort of off topic a little bit, but I also worked for a store called H&M, and I know, Karen, you guys just got those on the East or West Coast.
Yeah, I love H&M.
But they in the summer, have an insane swimwear collection, and they let people, unlike other stores, try the tops and the bottoms on. Well, girls specifically.
Ew!
On there, in the bottoms, is this stupid little plastic strip. Well, don't you know, I was working in the fitting room, and not even paper, it's just like plastic, like a sticker. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're supposed to, like, girls, you're supposed to keep your underwear on or whatever, but this one chick apparently didn't, because I go to clean out the dressing room, and I pick up the swimwear piece, and, well, she apparently had a little visit from her little red friend that day because...
Oh, my God! Don't tell me this. Oh, no.
I would have chased her through those stores. That store with the drawers
I'd
in my hand. I'm like, honey, you got to pay for this shit.
You know? Oh.
Yeah, your boyfriend might be happy that this happened, but we're not.
Ew.
Trying to tell Flo to simmer down.
Yeah.
Ew. That's the worst. That is the absolute worst.
Yeah. That's
maybe she just swapped out liners.
That's true. Can you imagine you go to like the fitting room at Target or something, and they're just before you go in, you just get handed a pad or a liner.
You shouldn't be able to try on bathing suits. That's my theory.
No,
that's my theory.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's just one of those things.
It's H&M. Like the bottom costs like $13. You know what?
I don't even like
you don't like
it. People trying on shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. But yuck.
Yeah, it's
not
okay.
That's so wrong. So wrong.
Wow.
I just
need
to know
who are
the women that do that, because I'm sure that happens all the time. Like, what makes you go, I'm on my period, and I'm going to go to the store and try on bathing suits. Like, that's the one time you're bloated. You should put on a bathing suit anyway.
That's true.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right.
Right. I definitely don't want to wear a bathing suit that day.
Well, see, most
people
would just order them, you know, from like a catalog pack,
right.
And if it doesn't work out, they just send them back.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, at least that's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. They can figure it out and disinfect it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that, or you're hoping it went to a third world country after you got done with it, you know.
Right. I mean, that's through the catalog. That's a little bit different than going into a store and, like, putting it on. I mean, that's, like,
Yeah, just horrible. Just horrible.
Well, I don't think that there's much difference with you guys in your banana hammocks either. I mean, you know, trying those things on is about as bad.
Look, I'm not trying nothing on and, like, sending it back.
No way. I mean, I had some guy send me a pair of Speedos once because he wanted photos, but that's another day.
I think that is so disgusting.
Is that another
Speedos or like?
I think it fits right into this one.
That's just nasty.
Yeah,
a man wears Speedos
never,
or like string things. That's just foul. There's nothing sexy about it. That's like men with long hair. I can't do it.
I would never. I mean, they're so uncomfortable, especially. You know, it's like Michelle said with me, I mean, I got a lot going on down there. My stuff doesn't really fit in them so well.
Maybe that's the reason he sent it.
That's like, oh gosh, did anybody see the, what's his name, the Situations workout video?
No.
Well, apparently
what happened?
Pump and Iron gets him excited.
Oh, boy.
Really?
You'd think that, yeah, we could see a...
tastes gross enough. Are you kidding
me? Yeah, I know. I'm like, you could see it's herpes infested junk. Allegedly.
Allegedly. That is hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Well, you know, ladies' favorite porn is gay porn. That's,
really?
I mean, yeah, it is.
I do have a lot of straight girlfriends that love gay porn, and it doesn't. I don't understand it because I don't even like to see it.
Oh, seeing a ripped body and all that equipment? Are you kidding? It's perfect.
No,
it's just like lesbian porn.
You know,
so.
My friend Midget in the chat room there, Midget 1577, my little friend that I always talk about, Karen, the one that was dancing in the video with me. Now this girl loves her some videos. Okay.
Right.
She
was all into it.
I pulled something up on the computer, and I, like, you know, I thought I had seen it all. Oh, well, apparently not so. This chick was hanging by one of those things, like her hands were handcuffed and, like, hung up, and she was, like, hanging. This chick was wrapped in saran wrap, and then there was clothespins around her nipples. And he was flicking.
Oh.
And then they had a pump, and they had a pump for your lady part. And it looked so big, I thought she was going to turn around and do him. I mean, it was tremendous. I mean, I was just fit to be tied. Like, for a week, I wasn't right after that.
Wow.
I was horrified.
That's
just
another,
the whole saran wrap. I was like, if somebody put clothespins near my nipples, they would die. I'm telling you, I was ruined for a week. I couldn't even handle it.
Clothespins on nipples, isn't that what they do down in Guantanamo Bay? I mean, what are they going to do next, waterboarding?
Well, it wasn't on them. It was, like, around them. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's like pinching
the
skin, right?
I was losing. Ooh. Yeah, like, and he was slicking them, and she was, like, losing her mind. And then the pump thing, I was like, oh, Lord. Like, I have seen it all. I can die. I don't need it. I just, no.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, I want to
hear
all my friends because I want them to be as traumatized as me. I never did find it again.
That's not on your bucket list, Jeff?
No. Look at it. I'll try a lot of things, okay? But there's some lines we got to draw. You're not hanging me. You're not going to choke me. You're not going to beat me. Like, no.
Oh, you see, that actually, ironically as it is, you bring that up, that's sort of like a weird fantasy of mine is to, like, be
really
having it, you know, like, done and then be choked. Like, because I've read so much stuff.
People
that, like,
die because
really
of this. Have you? Hello. What was that one guy, the kung fu actor there? But he was Indian. He wasn't even, like, Chinese.
Yeah.
He died because he was hanging himself trying to pleasure himself.
I'm not going to do it alone by myself. Hello. I mean, that's just dumb, you know. But, I mean, when you're with someone that you trust and you want to
experiment. You better hope they don't want your life insurance.
Wow.
Well, they better hope they're on the policy if they're going to go that route.
Wow.
What would the safe word be then if you're passed out and you don't have one?
Right.
I don't know. The last word's not out of my mouth. You guys would just give me like, I'm gay.
You'd have to have a safe color. If I turn blue.
And what worries me is, you know, about a lot of these younger kids that are dying and they're hanging themselves. I'm like, were they really trying to kill themselves or were they trying to have some pleasure?
Good question.
You know, I'm like, I don't know, it crossed my mind because it's like a big thing now, I guess. It's popular with the youngins. And that worries me. Like, are they really trying to kill themselves or were they just trying to get off?
Right. I don't know. Like, I can't imagine a near-death experience, you know, adding anything to it. I can't even imagine.
Well, we've only got a minute left, Karen. What do we got coming up tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have some huge updates about Grown Ups. We've actually got some cast announcements. And just, you know, it's all day Thursday, all Grown Ups. It's everything you want to know. So exciting.
Absolutely. So you guys will definitely be sure you want to call in for that and tune in for that because you never know who just might pop up on the show. Seriously.
Never know.
But,
you never know.
crazy. This felt like a Friday show, even though it was a Wednesday. But
I know.
I don't know what to say.
It was a little
dirty.
I think we were giving Howard Stern a run for his money.
Karen, thank you for talking with me tonight.
Yes,
oh, absolutely.
It was a pleasure meeting you, sweetheart. It was a wonderful story. Wonderful story.
Oh, thank you. You take care, boys.
Have a good night, everybody. Practice safe sex.
Right.
Take a little time to enjoy the radio.
Keep your juices to yourself.
No safety pins.
In here. Yeah. And your flapper's closed.